Well, we checked in with him at the beginning of February to get an idea of what's happening in emergency rooms across the country, and we are speaking with radiologist Dr. David Jacobs out of the Humber, Toronto area of Ontario. And, Doctor, welcome back. Good to chat with you again.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, so I guess now, you know what, I honestly thought when the cases were skyrocketing in November, it couldn't get any worse, and thanks to variants, here we are. What are you seeing out there in Ontario? I mean, you're in the emergency rooms yourself as a radiologist. What is it like right now?
Well, it's a little concerning, you know. At the beginning of the pandemic, we were seeing quite a few cases coming through. You'd see about 10 a day, and the findings on the x-rays and the CT scans were alarming. But now, just last weekend, I was seeing 40 cases a day. So the numbers have really shot up, at least in my area. And what we're seeing are very serious pneumonias.
Oh, wow. So, and also, I think one of the reports that we're seeing out here, at least in Alberta, thanks to the UK variant mainly, that it's starting to affect a lot of younger people. Now, that could be for the reason that, you know, a lot of the vulnerable population has been vaccinated, but also these variants are really nasty. And I know in Alberta, they've become the dominant strain out here. Are variants just as much of a concern in Ontario right now?
Well, it's a Canada-wide problem. So variants have really taken over. And they've become the new COVID-19. So, you know, we can speak about variants, but that's really what we're seeing almost exclusively in the hospitals now. So, and in terms of the age group, yes, the older population has been vaccinated, which is great, and it's keeping them out of the hospitals. But the younger population was always vulnerable to the original virus, and what we're seeing is a much more contagious virus now. So it's really broken through into all ages. I'm seeing patients as young as 20 with very, very serious pneumonias.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. No. And I, somebody who's of a high risk group and had the flu that's eventually caused pneumonia, I can tell you that is not fun. Also, I guess as well is that in terms of getting vaccinated, I know I got my first shot. And I'll be honest with you, I did feel tired that night, and I really could have used the sleep, so the timing was good. But nothing else. And I believe you've gotten both shots. So aside from, I remember you were telling me the Mike Tyson punch to the arm and some fatigue. Any other symptoms you could tell us about?
No, really not. You know, the biggest symptoms that you'll get from it is overwhelming sense of relief for
Amen.
Having had the shot. The you know, it's interesting because people talk about, I know you referenced getting the flu and a pneumonia. I just want to stress, this is not the flu. This is
right.
Not even close to the flu. This is a very, very serious, unique viral infection that creates a systemic inflammatory response. It creates an you can get a vasculitis from it. You can get inflammation in the lungs. What we're seeing with the pneumonias is not really an infectious pneumonia like you would think if you something you would take antibiotics for. This is your all of your tissues in the lungs, the periphery, the outside of the outside bits of your lung, it can go throughout the whole lung, but we're seeing it just really seriously inflamed. And it often leads to scarring, and it can lead to death as well. So this is not the flu. So I just want to stress that.
Yeah, no, didn't want to make the comparison.
No,
well, I guess
no,
just
no,
as an
no.
asthmatic, and I guess as an asthmatic, so basically what you're saying, my condition, I am a chronic severe asthmatic. If I do get the flu, even if I've been vaccinated, usually a hospital week follows within three weeks. So I'm assuming that, I guess for somebody like me who may be in my position as well, like, you know, early 40s like that, it could really do a number on us.
Oh, you're at very, very high risk. So, you know, I encourage anybody who is asthmatic or has any underlying health issues, please go get vaccinated. Because I just can't stress enough, this is a unique, very serious infection.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I guess one thing I want to stress out here in Alberta is that earlier this week, the government did open AstraZeneca up. So anybody 40 and above, I mean, anyone over 40 and above is eligible to do it. I'm not going to be biased. I'll be biased on this one. It's important to do it. And, you know, David, one of the things we see in this is that, oh, my word, is there a huge anti-vaccine rhetoric out there, you know, people believing they're microchipped, a lot of really, like, weird theories out there. Where do you think this all comes from?
You know, a lot of it comes from some of it's societal, some of it is born out of fear. Some people enjoy having the platform that social media gives them, and they can build followings based on just some outlandish rhetoric. You know, certainly you're not going to have any microchips in your vaccine. That's ridiculous. My goodness, what would Bill Gates do with the information anyhow? It's just beyond outlandish. What I'd like to, you know, I don't want to try to spend time convincing people who are of the mindset where they would believe something as outlandish as microchips in vaccines. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. And I think that the vast majority of people out there are better able to take the information in, process it, and come up with a good decision as to what to do, whether to vaccinate or not. So, you know, the 5% of the population that thinks that a tinfoil hat is going to prevent the government from reading their minds, they're a very difficult population to reach. But I want to reach the 95% of the population who knows better. And to them, I say, listen, serious infection. It's hard for the general public to understand, because once you get that sick, and not everyone gets that sick from COVID, but once you get a very serious case of COVID, you're in the hospital, you're out of the population, people don't see you, but the doctors and the nurses see them, and these people are desperately ill, and many die. So for the general population, the 95% that are listening, please go get your vaccine. You know, this is a very, very safe vaccine. Yes, the AstraZeneca does have very rare cases of blood clots associated with it, but the safety profile of this vaccine is excellent.
Did you actually know? I think I read somewhere, and I was a scientific researcher somewhere, that said a woman is more likely to get a blood clot from taking birth control than they would from getting a AstraZeneca shot. So, you know, that's something I saw. So that's something to consider, food for thought. And I know you too. I mean, we both mentioned I'm a Jewish person. You are as well. And, you know, I've seen these anti quote unquote lockdown or health restriction measures around here, and I'm not sure if they're popping up in Ontario, but some of them are taking a very, I would say, dangerous rhetoric. And I don't know about you, but I'm starting to think that a lot of these viruses have nothing to do with or a lot of these protests, I should say, have nothing to do with restrictions. And I almost think they're trying to send a different message, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we see any Nazi imagery associated with a cause, it's concerning, especially as a Jew. You know, I don't like to see that. When people wear armbands, pretend, you know, in reference to the horrors that my relatives went through in the Holocaust, no, I'm not okay with that. You know, these are people who were, you know, had everything stolen from them,
yeah,
and then they were sent to factories to be slaughtered. I'm sorry, but wearing a mask is not comparable in any way, shape, or form. It's grossly offensive. And I'll tell you, for anyone who is doing that, if your family member ever served in the armed forces during World War II, think about what they would think about your behavior. You know, that's not cool. You know, we spent a lot of, you know, a lot of Canadian blood to stop that kind of evil, and just loosely referencing it is not okay.
No, it never is. But I guess at the end of the day, I know so many of us, COVID fatigue. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't over it. You know, love to get back on the plane and go back east and visit the family back in there. But I guess that's another thing, too, is that I guess even the stress, even to the common sense folk like you and I, probably it's getting up there. But I think we're at the point where, you know, we're starting to see a light at the end of the tunnel here, aren't we, with vaccinations happening. Even though the federal government cannot provide, unfortunately, a reliable schedule of supply.
The federal government has been an absolute clown show. I mean, it is just ridiculous. Trudeau has dropped the ball on every single file that he needed to be on top of for this pandemic. He dropped it on PPE. He's dropped it on the border. He continues to drop it on the border. I mean, we know that there are new variants coming in from India, and he's got the borders, you know, and he's not stopping flights coming in from these hotspots. It's just ridiculous. Now, in terms of the vaccines, yes, you look down south, they're opening up, we're closing down. Why are they opening up? Because they have vaccines. So we need to get far more vaccines before we're going to really be able to open up. But if you want the light at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel is just south of the border. You can look south of the border and see how well things are going there. You can look at the UK, see how well things are going there, and you know that there are better times ahead. But we do need more vaccines, and people need to start putting more pressure on the Trudeau government to get us those doses and to explain why we're not manufacturing them here. So I'm not at all impressed with the Trudeau government's response to this, but vaccines are the answer, and there is a light at the end of that tunnel.
All right, and since I did mention that we'd be chatting today, one question here from Peace River. Hey, Dr. Jacobs, I'm wondering, do you think that this is a type of disease where you're going to need like a flu shot, not compared to the flu again, but like a flu shot, you're going to need one every year?
Yeah, I would say that there's an extremely high likelihood of that. The reason for it is are the variants. So much like other annual or seasonal vaccines, what they'll do is they'll look and see what's the most dangerous or the most predominant strain of the virus, and they'll make a vaccine that's going to target that particular strain. So I think that at the very least we're going to need one every 2 or 3 years, and at most we'll probably need a booster annually, which is going to target the most common or most dangerous variant.
Okay, very, very interesting. All right, well, we always appreciate the time, sir, and thank you so much for checking in with us today, giving us a good account of what's happening out there, and also letting our people know where our vaccines are coming from or not coming from.
Wonderful. Always nice talking to you, and good luck with your move down south to Calgary
or Edmonton, but closer. But you know what? It's still it's okay. It's okay, but still, I'm in the northwest corner of the province, so it's still southbound no matter what. Thank you, Doctor.
My pleasure.
This is Dr. David Jacobs, and this is an episode of The Hot Seat.